You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Cleveland Browns single game tickets are available now on clevelandbrowns.com and the Browns mobile app. It's your chance to secure tickets to all 2015 Cleveland Browns home games this season, including the upcoming home opener against the Tennessee Titans. To secure your tickets today, visit clevelandbrowns.com or the Browns mobile app right now. Nathan Zgura and Matt Wilhelm here in the Dog Bowl in Berea. Matt, I think we could do the grades in the most cursory of fashions.
Yes.
For this game. Let's just do it real quick here.
Rapid
we'll
fire.
Get out of the way. We'll go around the league
like
after
off
that.
The mailbag.
Pull out the Band-Aid. All right. Offense, quarterbacks.
Quarterbacks, D+.
D+. I'm going to go C.
Okay.
Josh McCown, 17th play, 90-yard drive. Unfortunately, and in the turnover, he got knocked out. I thought Johnny, under the circumstances, played average football. I thought he played, showed some good things, but the turnovers were unacceptable. So ultimately, I'm going to give them a C.
Okay.
And again, part of that is because my expectations once Johnny came in weren't so high.
Correct. I get that.
Running backs.
I would say C minus D plus as well.
And it's a tough one for me. I'm going to go C minus just because I don't – what opportunity were they given? How hard can you be on a running back who's not getting the opportunity to do anything? Now, could they have made some guys miss tackles? Could they have gotten some more yards after the contact than they both did? Yes, and I'll put that on them. Yeah. Malcolm Johnson, some nice catches in the
sure.
past game. But for the most part, you didn't get anywhere near what you needed to win
no.
in the game.
And I would have expected as much – I don't mean to interrupt you, but I'm sorry. I would have expected more opportunities to take advantage of Duke Johnson in space. And we see that. We see it in the National Football League. You see it especially when you watch college football. You can see the concerted effort by a coach or offensive coordinator to get their best player, the football, in ideal situations. And I don't think essentially, and I know the Jets are a good defense, that we outright said, we're going to line up, we're going to try to confuse you, we're going to get a matchup, and we're going to take advantage of it. And I didn't see that, and I would have liked to see that, especially as much as we've been built up all offseason about Duke Johnson.
All right, how about the tight ends of the Cleveland Browns?
Tight ends, I will give them a C+. I think they're a good group of tight ends. They're not a great group of tight ends. There was obviously the drop or missed
Big
opportunity
drop
with
from Jim
Dray.
That was a drop.
It's a drop. I'll give them a C.
I'm going to give them a C- again. I thought Jim Dray had a big drop. I thought he struggled as well in pass protection, gave up a big hit in one of those. I thought Rob Housler was a complete non-factor. Now, how much of a factor could he be in six snaps? That not much. I thought Barnage was solid. Barnage was the only one that I would grade out positively on the day. Led the team in receptions there, gave his all. But when you have two guys that are supposed to be specialists, Jim Dray is supposed to be a blocking specialist. I don't think he was that effective as a blocker. Rob Housler was supposed to be your pass-catching specialist, barely played, and wasn't much of a factor. And if, by the way, if Rob Housler, to me, is only going to be playing six snaps, goodbye, and let's play Bibbs.
Right.
He's cheaper, he's here, but now his contract, Housler, by the way, his contract's guaranteed, so that's a decision for another day. But his utilization, I thought, was very, very puzzling. Offensive line play in this one.
Offensive line play, I'm going to give them a D+. I'm not going to fail them. I think that when Josh McCown was in there and the game plan was being executed decisively, I thought they were good. I thought when Johnny got in there, they weren't blocking the spot anymore. They were just blocking guys, not knowing where Johnny Manziel would be. And I thought that just the lack of a run game has a lot to do with the lack of holes that they're creating for the running backs.
Neither Duke Johnson nor the Isaiah Crowell got a yard and a half down the field on average before they took contact. And I don't care. I don't. That the Jets have a good front. Don't care.
This is
supposed to be one of the very best offensive lines in the entire National Football League. It is supposed to be an offensive line that, in theory, with the investment made in it, should be matchup proof.
Yeah.
And last year it was, oh, the Jacksonville Jaguars front is good. Oh, the Bills front is good. Now, Alex Mack wasn't there. Alex Mack's there now. You've got a Pro Bowler at left tackle. You've got a guy that many people thought should be a Pro Bowler last year at left guard. You've got a Pro Bowler at center. You've got John Greco, a solid veteran, and you got Mitchell Schwartz, former second-round pick. Oh, and Cam Irving, who came in. And by the way, when Cam Irving was in, it's not like they ran the ball any more effectively with six offensive linemen on the field. This offensive line gets an F from me. They need to be better game in and game out. And until this offensive line plays a game where they are like a top 3-5 offensive line in the NFL, they will get Fs from me. There's too much investment in that offensive line for
there
it to
is.
Be anything other than phenomenally, exceptionally awesome and dominant. Period. It's a failure.
Phenomenally?
Awesomely.
Exceptionally.
Dominant.
Okay. I'm going to preach that to my kids on the flag football team.
Here's how we want to play on Saturday.
But to me, that's the truth. That offensive line gets an F, and it will get an F game after game after game until they absolutely control a game the way they are supposed to as the elite offensive line they're supposed to. No pushes. Straight to the F. This team, they're too good. There's too much investment in terms of draft capital and monetary compensation for anything else from that offensive line.
I concur. And again,
I don't care if it's hard.
I don't know why, for whatever reason, I felt like I needed to take it easy on them when I'm harsh at other spots. But you're right. They're the basis of everything we do offensively. You can have no playmakers. You can have adequate running backs. You can have an average quarterback behind a good offensive line, and you can make plays in the National Football League. Because if you have enough time and you can chew up some clock and set up the pass with the run, you're in every football game.
All right, last position on the offense, the wide receivers.
Wide receivers, I'm going to give them a D-plus as well. I thought, Benjamin, when given the opportunity, had the good catch for a touchdown from Johnny Manziel. Hartline's catch from his knees was good. You had the Gabriel drop on fourth down. I know at that point in game, at time the game's out of touch. But I just thought, as I talked about Aaron Rodgers earlier, the rapport needs to be built better between these playmakers and their quarterback, because as we've seen in week one, our quarterbacks will deviate out of the pocket, they will run with the football, and that is not an ideal situation for any quarterback in the National Football League to have to feel the need to run multiple times. And some of that is on the wide receiver's ability to get open, find space, find the voids in the zone, and be ready to accept the football from the quarterback.
I'm going to give the receivers actually a B.
Go ahead.
Because I don't think this group, the expectations for this group shouldn't be that great. Travis Benjamin was pretty good. 3 targets, 3 catches, 89 yards, and a score. Hawkins, 3 for 24, just missed a touchdown. Hartline made the nice grab. Gabriel, to me, I don't know. I thought that for my expectations, am I grading them on a curve like I would grade Julio Jones and Roddy White in Atlanta? No. But for what these guys did, I thought the wide receivers overall actually were the only group that exceeded my expectations in week one.
I have high expectations for this group.
You do?
I really do. I really do. Because they're going to be asked to make a lot of plays for this to be a successful football season for the Cleveland Browns. And they've got to live up to it. They need to do more. They're going to be counted out in every situation as being a bad playmaking room by everyone nationally looking outside in on the Cleveland Browns, I need them to exceed that expectation each and every Sunday, because that in turn will bring wins, will bring chunk plays for our offense, will take the pressure off of the run game, the offensive line. It's that domino effect. Make those plays. Make those big throws. Get open. Finish.
Finish. All right. Defensively, defensive line.
Defensive line, I C-. They're not great. No pressure. Like I said, I thought they handled Danny Shelton very well in the middle. I know he did his job well and graded out well in the eyes of Mike Pettine, which is good in his first game in the National Football League. But everyone else was irrelevant. Randy Starks made a play against the run, but no one got to the toes of Ryan Fitzpatrick, let alone got him to the ground.
D for me. Linebackers.
Inside linebacker, as a group, inside, outside,
group.
Inside, outside.
In the interest of brevity,
I would say C minus D plus. I mean, not a lot of good, not a lot of plays made. If there were, I'd rattle them off to edify the grade that they receive, which would be much higher than a C minus or D plus.
I'll give them a D again. There were some missed assignments. There was something on that Chris Ivory touchdown run. Dansby was upset with Christian Kirksey. Kirksey seemed upset with Dansby. I thought that they were a little slow in the interior to get up and fill in their run fits. So a D from that group. The secondary.
I'll give them a D as well. And coinciding with the exact expectations that you have of that offensive line, my expectations are exactly the same of these defensive backs. Joe Hayden's got to be a lockdown corner. Lockdown, which means throw it elsewhere. And in week one of the football season, they attacked our lockdown corner and made plays at will on him, and that's just not good enough.
I'm going to give them an F. This team, they're, again, supposed to be elite. Ryan Fitzpatrick walked down the field on them. Chris Owusu beat you on a 3rd and 10 for a 43-yard gain. You had Eric Decker get in the end zone. Brandon Marshall gets in the end zone. Too easy all day long for Ryan Fitzpatrick. This team, again, this group needs to be elite, and they were not. So an F for me from the secondary. Special teams.
Special teams were good. I thought, you know, Bobby April coached a special teams unit. They don't quite have the players like they used to in New York playing special teams, but a Bobby April coached group is a very well coached group. And I thought these guys passed with flying colors. I'm going to give them an A-. And the only reason they're not going to get anything higher is because they didn't have a significant game-changing type of return, anything 10 yards or more.
I'm going to give them, I think that's fair, then an A-. They were the fifth best graded special teams unit in the NFL per Pro Football Focus in week number one. Andy Lee, two bombs of over 60 yards on the day as a punter. I thought he had a very strong outing. Travis Coons, to me, again, when you make a 48-yard extra point, there certainly is nothing wrong with that. Thought he did a pretty good job there. Two of his three kickoffs were touchbacks. That was good to see. So I thought, all in all, Coons did a good job. He may have mishit one of those kickoffs. One of those came off a little bit funky. But for the most part, I thought he did an excellent job there. And the coverage, that's where you got Craig Robertson's big dance. That's where you had that good play came out of there. As we talked about, Lee did a good job. All in all, the Gunners were solid. Marlon Moore, Batamosi, I think that was the bright spot of the game, one of the three facets. Unfortunately, while there are three facets and they all matter, special teams can cost you a game, but if you're only good on special teams, it's not going to win the game for you.
No, absolutely not. You've got to win special teams week in, week out, and one other phase. Because if our defense played well and we played great special teams, it was the game that we expected it to be. 17-13, 13-10, whatever it is. If defense lets up a bunch of points and special teams plays well, offense plays well, it's the 31-28 game, you know, the 27-24 game that could have happened with points being put on the football, on the scoreboard.
Yes, it could have been. All right, when we come back, we're going to go around the league here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.